Welcome to the table. I'm your host, Jeff Harpole. We're in our third set of this inheritance and the generations that have come from Abraham. From Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. Of course, Jacob has an older brother, Esau. They are twins, but they could not be more different. Esau is cultivated in the field. He becomes a great hunter, and Jacob dwells in the tents. He looks like he's skilled in the culinary art. So he's a cook. He's a baker. He's a cook. He's domestic. And Esau's wild. Esau has the smell of the field. He has a certain recipe, the venison. He's known for his hunting skills. I want to just move all the way into the book of Hebrews, because it's interesting to me that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we have this chapter that's typically referred to as the Hall of Faith. The greats are mentioned there. And these great people that did great exploits are there. Interestingly enough, Jacob is found there. But in Jacob's finding, Jacob is not mentioned in the Hall of Faith as a young Jacob, only as an older Jacob. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. He was worshiping at the end. Throughout all of that conflict and all of the things he went through, Jacob remained faithful. But he didn't start out a good man. So I want you to know, even though Jacob was given the birthright, he did so through deception. So while Esau despised the birthright, Jacob was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. So this shows me something about the generations and recovery. This is a beautiful story, and it gives us great hope that there can be great recovery. If I'm looking at the life of Abraham, I'm seeing a man who left everything that he had to follow the voice of God without any indication as to where he was going. I'm looking at Isaac, who grew up in a posh area, but had to learn the hard way himself. He had to go through some things and probably didn't excel like we would want him to excel. But then came that third generation, and it's a make or break time. And the third generation holds so much authority and power in their hand, because they're so far away from the Abraham. They don't have any relationship with Abraham. Abraham is past. The best they have are stories of the legend, but they don't have any firsthand knowledge of him. So Jacob doesn't have any first. He was never around his grandfather. Isaac was late in getting married, and Abraham, there's no indication that Abraham and Sarah, they have this ongoing relationship with their grandsons. We know nothing of that. And so I looked at this young man, Jacob. He's kind of foolish. He's learning deception from his mother. His mother plotted and planned the deception. She's the one who got the clothes. She prepared the food. She did all that needed to be done. She was getting back at her husband. Oh, man. You talk about some family problems, marriage problems. I can only imagine that Isaac still had more affection for his deceased mother than he did for his current wife. And for whatever reason, you can chalk it up. I don't know what your opinion would be, but Isaac and Rebecca, man, do they ever have issues? Rebecca does all of these things, and she's the one who sets it all up. And your father's about to die. here's some clothes, here's some meat. It's going to smell like your brother's meat and your brother's clothes. I'm going to put those on. And so we have this story, this biblical story of deception. He runs from the father's house. He gets the blessing. In fact, it's so terrible that even at the end, you know, Isaac has given the blessing, and Esau comes in late, and he figures out that he is not going to get the blessing. He cries out at Genesis 27:38, "Father, do you have one blessing, my father? Can you just bless me?" Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept, and there was nothing left to give. You talk about anguish and bitterness. And Jacob is going to run from that, because when Isaac dies, there is no one standing in the way. Nobody is going to save Jacob from Esau. So Jacob leaves. He's gone. He finds another place. It's some relatives. He works for 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, he's going to marry Rachel. And in the morning, I don't know if they have a veil over their face or whatever, but in the morning he wakes up, he's got the wrong woman. Boy, you talk about shock. And he wakes up with Leah. And the Bible describes Leah as the weak-eyed one. Not pretty. There's a difference between Rachel and Leah in the outer appearance. So the deceiver becomes deceived. And whatever you do, just remember, you plant the seed and you'll reap your own harvest. And no one reaped their own harvest more than Jacob. But there's something that happens to Jacob over the years. He works for another 7 years. He's there even longer. Boy, it's a long time before he ever makes it back home. And by the time he's going back to meet his scorned brother, not knowing, he stops at a place and he says, "I've got to find the Lord." He seeks the Lord. He has to have a face-to-face with God. That midnight prayer, it's amazing, that midnight prayer. He wrestles with a theophany, the angel, all night. He asks the angel his name, and the angel does not give his name. So why do you ask that? There's no name mentioned. It's, by all accounts, it's this theophany, this manifestation of God through an angel. And at the end, several things happen. There's a name change from Jacob to Israel, and that name change is so critical. We'll know him a little bit longer as Jacob, but no one refers to the offspring as the children of Jacob. It's always the children of Israel, because that name change is now going to transform all of the people. Thousands of years later, they're going to be called Israelites, the children of Israel. And that happened on that night. There's something else that happened. The Bible says that the angel touched his thigh and it hollowed out the muscle tissue in Jacob's thigh. It was so revered and so known that even in the animal, when they slaughtered the animal, the Jews would not eat that portion of the meat as an honor and a reference to the night that Jacob wrestled with the angel. And when he left there, he walked with a limp. His leg didn't work right. Brother Tenney once said, "Don't ever trust a leader that doesn't walk with a limp." Why? Because until you have a face-to-face with God, you are subject to humanism, arrogance, subjectivism. But when you meet with God, when leaders meet with God, they walk away different. And they don't walk away on their own strength. They rely upon the strength of the Lord. There is something about the recovery of a man, the recovery of the third and all the other generations. We have to have our time with God. It can't just be an encounter. See, Bethel was the encounter. Peniel was on purpose. Bethel was when Jacob found God. He was sleeping. He walked away saying, the Lord was in this place. I didn't even know it, but not Peniel. Peniel was on purpose. Peniel was a place where Jacob said, I've got to find God. I'm going to find him. I'm going to pray until something happens. And that night he prayed all night. He wrestled all night. And I think that the power of the third generation is going to come in an all night wrestling prayer. I've got to be changed. I've got to be changed. And oh my, when that third generation changes and turns their whole heart and attention to God, they will affect hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people after them. Nobody's going to be the same. Because incredibly enough, the children of Israel are identified with the third generation, not with the first. Can you imagine? Now, of course, we know them as the children of Abraham, but no, they weren't Abrahamites. They were Israelites. And Israel is the name of the country today, not the land of Abraham, the land of Israel. Even today, thousands of years later, 4,000 years later, we are now still calling that small landmass Israel. So there's something that's going to happen in that third generation. I want to tell my own children, you are the third. Get a hold of God. Your name will be changed. Your ideas will be changed. You'll walk with a new walk. You'll have power and leadership. You'll rely upon the Lord and not humanism. And when the third does that, there's something powerful in the third. You see, they don't have the benefit of coming out from the land of Ur, so they don't have the built-in sacrifice. Like my mother and father had built-in sacrifices. They had nothing. But the second generation, me, we had the blessings of what they did, and we have a relationship with the Abrahams. But the Jacobs, they don't have a relationship with the Abrahams. They're far removed from the land of Ur, and they could bask in just the blessing. But man, when they turn their attention and they say, we're going to be devoted, we're going to have our own purposeful meeting with God, they affect thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And in the end, this is why Jacob's given entry into the great hall of faith, that on his deathbed, he was given blessings. He was leaning on his staff, here's the Bible says, and he was worshiping the Lord. Man, you might come in a little weak, and deception might be your story, but don't let that be your conclusion. You walk away saying, I'm going to worship God, because on that night when he wrestled at Peniel with the angel, the theophany, he walked away with a new name and a new gait, a new stride. Something changed in Jacob's life, Israel. Everyone after him were the children of Israel. No one was identified with the deceiver. Power with God, the prince, the right hand, an authority. So I say to all of those that are after the second seat, all of them, if you ever find your Peniel, you get very serious and you say, listen, it might even be that your parents are half-hearted. Okay. Your parents are apathetic. Okay. Can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you were raised in a house that was dysfunctional. You have a mother that's angry at your father. You have a father that cares about other people. He's kind of carnal. You have a father who is not really committed. If the third generation ever gets a hold of this apostolic revival, powerful prayer, sacrifice, commitment, the doctrine, you will literally transform everyone around you because you are disconnected from the Abrahams. And by virtue of that, when you make your commitment, you become the new foundation for everything that happens after you. Oof, I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for that third generation. I'm looking for the transformation from Jacob to Israel. I'm looking for the transformation from deception to purposeful intention. I'm going to have a walk with God. My goodness, what a recovery. And we're going to praise him and worship him and give our whole life to the Lord. And we're not going to blame anybody. We're not going to say, I had a bad home life. We could say all of that. We're not going to do that. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to worship God and you're going to give your whole life to the Lord. and it's going to transform your church, your families, your friends, and everyone who comes after you. Come now, come. Let's gather an inheritance. We have a great inheritance. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's going to change everyone around you. I'm glad you came to the table. And we know that the Lord has more for us. I'll see you soon.